Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. Have you ever imagined what it would be like to plead for your life? Did you know that around the world today, in dungeons, prisons, and courtrooms, men and women are pleading for their lives to be spared? And what is their crime? In some cases, they were found to have a Bible in their possession. In other cases, they were heard to be talking about Jesus Christ. In other cases, they were being baptized or participating in communion or worship. Yes, there are many places in the world where some or all of these things are against the law, and in a few places are capital offenses. Yesterday, I left you watching Haman and King Xerxes heading to a second banquet Queen Esther was preparing for them. Esther chapter 7 gives us the story of what happened there. The record is very important, so let's look closely. As King Xerxes and Haman were drinking wine, the king asked, "Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given to you, even up to half the kingdom." Then Queen Esther answered, "If I have found favor with you, your majesty, and if it pleases you, grant me my life. This is my petition, and spare my people. This is my request." Esther chapter 7, verse 3. If Queen Esther paused right there, I doubt any of us can imagine the look on the faces of both King Xerxes and his trusted official, Haman. What could the queen possibly mean? Perhaps the king urged her to continue. "I and my people have been sold to be destroyed, killed, and annihilated. If we had merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet, because no such distress would justify disturbing the king." Esther 7, verse 4. I have no doubt Esther bowed in honor of the king. I imagine the color drained from Haman's face as the king's eyes grew large, the veins began to bulge out in his neck, and his breathing became rapid, and the king's temper rose to a near rage. "Who is he? Where is he, the man who dared to do such a thing?" Did King Xerxes shout his questions in anger, with his fist pounding on the table? Did he throw his wine goblet against the wall, ready to strangle someone? Did Esther wait, allowing those powerful questions to hang in the air while her eyes turned toward Haman? Did she point at Haman as she answered her king? "An adversary, an enemy, this vile Haman." Esther 7, verse 5 and 6. Then Haman was terrified before the king and queen. The king got up in a rage, left his wine, and went out into the palace garden. But Haman, realizing that the king had decided his fate, stayed behind to beg Queen Esther for his life. Just as the king returned from the palace garden to the banquet hall, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was reclining. The king exclaimed, "Will he even molest the queen while she is with me in the house?" Esther chapter 7. It's safe for us to assume armed bodyguards were standing outside the door of the banquet hall during this private banquet time, for these seasoned warriors were always standing guard, even while the king was asleep in his bedroom. As soon as they heard the king raise his voice, I'm sure they had instantly entered the banquet room at the ready to defend the king with their lives. Now, with the king pointing at Haman, and with the king's accusatory words still echoing in the room, the bodyguards wasted no time. They took immediate action. The king did not need to explain or instruct them. The record says, as soon as these words left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. One of the greatest honors of a person's life would be a few moments face to face with His Majesty, King Xerxes, the most powerful man in the world. Conversely, the ultimate shame brought to a person would be that their face was covered, so neither they could see the king, nor would the king have to look at them. Then they would be gruffly escorted out of the king's presence and almost always taken to be executed. No trial, no negotiations, no explanations. Haman's face was covered, and he was dragged away from the presence of the king. As Haman was dragged away, one of the king's attendants informed the king of the death device Haman had erected near his home for Mordecai. The king declared, "Impale Haman upon it." And the record of the king's court reads, "So they impaled Haman on the pole he had set up for Mordecai." Then the king's fury subsided. Esther chapter 7, verse 10. It is one of the most dramatic reversals of leadership fate in history. Whoever had witnessed the event of those few moments must surely have stood there stunned, speechless, and would never have forgotten what they witnessed. And while there's more to the story, I think we need to pause and let this soak in. May I offer a few questions that might help us? First, where in this remarkable turn of events do you see the direct work of God? Second, how do you see God protecting Mordecai and Esther while bringing the light of truth upon hidden things? Third, what sustained both Mordecai and Esther when all seemed hopeless? Are there some lessons the Holy Spirit has been teaching you in this remarkable Esther story thus far?